Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again. It is Saturday, February 29th, leap year day, Saturday's the 29th, it's leap year day. And welcome to another episode of the Saturday Spotlight. It is the last Saturday of the month of February, Black History Month, and I trust that you guys have celebrated well. But again, as I stated, welcome to another episode of the Saturday Spotlight with the one, the only, your boy, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, Jeffrey Rochelle. Tonight, we talk to author Melissa Cobb. Melissa Cobb is on tonight to tell us about who Melissa Cobb is, how many books she's written, what she has coming up for her this year and future-wise, and also where you can reach her at. But before we talk to Melissa, as always, let's get started with the week recap. So this week, if you guys have not been listening to the last two shows, you know, I've been dealing with some drama at the new job. So this week was just like any other week, but it was different. And when I say it was like any other week, was that still the same non-communication with my coworkers in the department besides a good morning and a goodbye when we leave, and the same atmosphere of an attitude frame from the boss of mine that I have now. So this week, say it was a lot less than what it's been the last 2 weeks from you guys been listening, what I've been dealing with. She wasn't as, how can I put it? She's changed a little bit. And I know the reason that she's changed is because HR had a conversation with her. But that still does not constitute the fact that I'm always on my guard, because once a snake, we always know what the saying means to that. Once a snake what? Always a snake. And the fact that she wants me out of the department and I don't want to be there as much as she doesn't want me there anymore either, it's like, you know, so she's been a little more calmer. The work I've been doing, needless to say, is not pushing me to get to a level of where I'm going to be there long. And I've accepted that. Like I said at the end of the show last week, I've accepted it. I put it in God's hands and I can't worry about it no more. So, but just to give you guys a recap on that, it kind of changed a little bit with the attitude and the atmosphere, far as her not being aggressive. But the atmosphere is still kind of funky, and it's kind of like I don't like being in an atmosphere where I don't interact with the people I work with. It's easy to say, oh, you go to work, collect your check, and go home, but you see them for 8 hours. You have to have a conversation with them. And the mere fact that I don't is troubling. I bring my earphone because we're able to listen to our music while we work. So I bring my earphones, and I listen to my music, and then it's just that. And then by the time all that's said and done, it's time to go home, and it's back to do the same thing over again. But like I said, I do not like the atmosphere. I don't like where I'm at. I've been praying about it in God's hands, and when he's getting ready, when he's ready, I should say, to move, he will move. And I believe he will move, because anything that he said he will do, he will do it. He may not move when you want him to, but he moves right on time. And I believe he's going to move right on time. And on a positive note, I got a job lead for a new position this week. So I'll recap that. And I'm leaving it in God's hands. What will be, but that's just something I'm proud about, because I really wasn't expecting that call that I got Friday, and I kind of was like a kid in the candy store. My face lit up like, really? Okay. Can we do this Monday? Okay, cool. I can do it. So, as I always stated in this type of situation, there's always light at the tunnel. You can't worry about it, but leave it in God's hands, and he will work it out. Now, moving right along, for those of you that do not know, my favorite movie dropped its trailer this weekend. I mean, this week, I should say. Not this weekend, this week. Thursday, the remake, what they say don't call it a remake, but the spiritual sequel to the 1992 horror film that had everybody, especially everybody in Chicago, scared to turn their lights out, let alone stand in a mirror. We'll be out in June, and they dropped the trailer on Thursday for Candyman. That's right. Everybody knows without Candyman, you say his name five times in the mirror, you turn the light out, or you may not even turn the light out. He'll appear behind you and cut you up with his hook. Well, they dropped the trailer finally. I've been waiting on this trailer for a long time. Y'all hear me talk about it all the time. They dropped the trailer on Thursday, and I was happy about that. I was happy about that. It looks like it's going to be really good. Jordan Peele is going to be helping produce it. Nia DaCosta is directing it. She's a new director. And it's going to have in there Tiana Paris from The Shy, Yahya Abdul-Mateen. He was the Black Manta in Aquaman. He was in Us. He was the father to the girl that was as she grew up when she was a little girl. But he is playing the lead character, Anthony. And if you guys did not notice from the trailer, Anne Marie, a.k.a. Vanessa Williams, who was Anthony's mother, the mother of the baby, who is now Anthony grown up, she's back in the movie. So this plot, I kind of predicted the plot for the movie. I knew this is what it was going to be. The Candyman is back, and they're not showing Tony Todd because they said Tony Todd was going to be in the movie. And I believe that he's going to show his face because they have this spirit of him killing people, but they don't show him in full fleshly form. So I believe that when they call his name five times and he kills these people, they're going to see his face in the mirror. And you guys know Tony Todd had that scary face. That's how he made the Candyman, the original Candyman, Tony Todd. That's how he made it, with that face. So he's a spirit in this one, and he's going to get into the body of Anthony to try to live on in the now times because things have changed. They tore the projects up, so they're using the row houses for the new movie. And because the projects, the high-rises are down. Everybody knows that about Cabrini Green. The high-rises are really down in real life. But the row houses are still up, so they use the row houses for the movie. But the plot is that he's going to get into Anthony's body to try to live on. So he's going to try to transform Yahya Abdul-Mateen, into the new version of the Candyman to live on through him. So I'm interested to see this movie. I'm interested to see how it's going to play out. Everybody has their thoughts and opinions about it. Everybody's just talking about it. Everybody was so worried about Tony Todd being in it because everybody kept saying, if he's not going to be in it, I don't want to see it. The original Candyman is going to be in it. Well, they said he's going to be in it. And from the trailer, like I said, you can kind of tell that he's going to show his face in the mirror when people call him, but he's not in fleshly form. He's a spirit. And he's a spirit going to try to get into the body of Anthony, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, to carry on the spirit of, well, I should say, the story and the success of the Candyman. So I'm quite interested to see how this is going to play out and if this movie is going to be good. It comes out June 12th, 2020, and I'm very excited about that because I've always been a diehard Candyman fanatic fan. When I seen the first one, and my mother will vouch to tell you this, when I seen the first one, I was 10 years old in the fifth grade, and I did not sleep with the nightlight out of my room for 2 months. That movie had me so scared that my mother had to pray over what was keeping me from keeping my nightlight out at night. That's how scary that movie. Everybody was on edge when they seen the very first Candyman because it was really scary. A lot of people are like, I'm not going to see this and this and that. But Jordan Peele, to me, they say he's the horror black horror king, but he's really suspenseful. He's not so much a horror king. He's more suspenseful. So I don't think it's going to be scary. Maybe if they have Tony Todd showing his face before he kills people since he's a spirit. But I believe that it's going to be more suspenseful than anything. Because to me, Us was not scary. It was suspenseful. It was that suspense that kept you driving away. So I really think that, you know, Jordan Peele is more suspenseful, but not a, you know, horror like Stephen King and, you know, all those other people, you know. To me, he's like more or less like a, you know, person. But like I said, it drops June 12th, and I'm interested on seeing that. So moving along, I don't know if you guys had saw the incident where there was a guy that shot up his coworkers in Milwaukee at the Coors Light, I believe it was the plant. Well, there was a guy that just recently got fired, I believe, that day. It was all on the news. He went back to his job and he shot 7 of his coworkers. So I listened to that story, and needless to say, it was so funny because he kind of was going through the same thing that I was going through at my job, but it got worse. And I say this to say that people don't ever know what people are going through, and it's just like mental health is a must, especially for men. A lot of women, a lot of females they know how to mentally, you know, discharge themselves from the issues and things. But we as men, like myself, I have to put on my vision board now. I want to start doing a lot of things for my mental health. So I started jotting down things on that vision board. I told you guys about my vision board I had in January where I started jotting down things as far as mental health. And what I want to do is I want to, of course, get back in the gym on a regular. I'm back in there, but I need to push myself to keep going a little bit more harder. And I need to push myself to get that taste of fried fatty food off my tongue because I crave it and I got to have it and I know it's not good. And especially for my height and weight, I'm trying to burn this weight before it gets too hot because I don't want to go into the summertime and I want to keep it off, but I don't want to go into the summertime with this weight because I picked up a little bit of weight. The people that haven't seen me, I picked up a little weight. And I don't like it. So I'm trying to get the taste of fatty foods off my tongue and do more healthy, lean foods, more fruits and vegetables instead of doing all that fatty fried foods and candy, the candy machine at work. Candy is my favorite thing, too. I got to get that up under my belt as well, too. But doing facials, it's a girl that I saw from my friend, my male friend. He goes to her for male facials. And that's very relaxing. And I saw the video that she put up on her Instagram page that how she was, and it just really seemed very relaxing. And it was also detoxing the toxins out of his face. And I have a lot of like black spots and things like that in my face a little bit. So I want to get my skin back cleared up like it used to be. So I said, you know what? I reached out to her to schedule myself a facial for the upcoming in the next 2 weeks or so. So I'm excited about that. So I'm going for an acne and a male facial. She does female and male facials, and I'm going to reach out to her for that, so I'm looking forward to getting that done. And also just the, you know, manicures, pedicures, massages too. I used to work at a massage therapy school, and the staff, when the students did their internship of massaging at the school, got free massages on Saturdays. And I used to like to take advantage of that when I worked at the school, as it was closed now. But some of the students I'm still friends with, and one of the students I reached out to and asked, hey, are you still massaging? I know you do it, but are you doing it on the side, I should say? And they was like, yeah, you know, I'll just charge you this and that. Well, I said, okay, cool. So you know what? I want to make that a regular thing for myself too, because like I just stated, mental health is something that we definitely need. We're going through so much. The year 2020 has really started off, I'm sorry to say it, but it has really, really bad and really, really eye-opening. There's so much stuff going on, the coronavirus, people dying, you know, you can't get a break from this and that. And, you know, it's just like you need that mental stress reliever. So I'm looking forward to taking advantage of all those things. And like I said, point blank being with my job, I just left it in God's hands. Whatever happens, it's going to happen. But I'm looking forward to taking advantage of those things to de-stress myself, getting back to my old self. I want to get back to, and I want to live longer because, you know, I lost my uncle at the age of 45 to a massive heart attack. And I'm slowly reaching that age you know, to where I'll be 45 in the next couple of years, and it's like I still have forgotten that, to lose an uncle at that young of age of a massive heart attack. So I have to really, really get this thing going with this weight now. I got to really get it going, y'all, and I got to really get back in the gym like I used to be 2-3 years ago, because there was a time I went to the gym 4 days a week. And since I slacked, it's like my mom, she's really, really working at it, her and my sister. And my mom is really going to be looking good for the summer because she's dedicated. She just got a gym membership, and she's killing it doing the thing. So I'm proud of her, but she has to really push me sometime. And it's like I don't want to go, but I got to go. So those are some things I just definitely want to work on. And like I said, if you haven't created a vision board, it's not too late. You still got now. You can do it now. It's not too late. You still got so many months. It's just the beginning of, you know, March will be here tomorrow. So it's like you still got, you know, time to get your vision board and get to doing the things that you want to do. Detoxify yourself from everything that's keeping you down, whether it's your job, your finances, your so-called friends, whatever. You need that mental break and stress reliever. So I challenge you and stress to you to get that going for yourself. All right. So as always, this show is sponsored by Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. They're open till 12 a.m. tonight. Their address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana, and their phone number is 219-951-0695. That's Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. They're open till midnight tonight, and their address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. And Mickey's on Stoney, home of the famous jerk fries. They're open till 1 a.m. tonight. Mickey's is located at 8126 South Stoney Island in Chicago, Illinois, on the southeast side, and their phone number is 773-902-2800. That's Mickey's on Stoney, home of their famous jerk fries. They're open till 1 a.m. tonight. Their address is 8126 South Stoney Island on the southeast side in Chicago. And Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. Raise serves you your sweet, hot food, and customized treats. Try their weekly food specials. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Raise the Bar's phone number is 708-566-4088, and tell them that Jeff sent you. That's Raise the Bar, located at 3359 Street in Markham, Illinois. And Pop Culture Gourmet Popcorn, not just serving you cheese, butter, or caramel. They have caramel-colored popcorn, candy-colored popcorn, I should say, any kind of popcorn flavors. They serve 50 flavors, but they're on located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. That's located in the Phoenix Plaza off Houston Street, and their hours of operation are Wednesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., and their phone number is 708-825-9105. That's Pop Culture Gourmet Popcorn, located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. And their phone number is 708-825-9105. And Layla Sports Bar and Grill, for your banquet and sports watching, happy hour drinking needs, hit Layla's up. Their hours of operation are Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., Friday, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m., Saturday, 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's Layla Sports Bar and Grill. It's located at 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois, and their phone number is 708-414-1088. That's Layla Sports Bar and Grill, located at 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois, and their phone number is 708-414-1088. All right. So now we have come to the point of the show that I love the most, and that is the author spotlight interview for the Saturday Spotlight. And I see Melissa Cobb is in the queue. So Saturday Spotlight listeners, as well as callers, let's please give it up for author Melissa Cobb. Melissa Cobb, how are you doing this evening? Welcome.
Oh, I am well. How you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great, and I'm glad you wanted to be on this show. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, no problem. So as we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how many books you've written, all that good stuff.
Well, personally, I'm from the great state of Mississippi. Yeah, and I have 10 books and 2 e-books, a total of 12 books.
Okay. And how long have you been writing?
I've been writing publicly for the last 8 years or so.
Okay.
And it's been great.
And when you okay, cool. And when you say publicly, is that like published publicly or like you did some things under your belt? Can you tell us what you mean by publicly?
Yes. Before I became out front, I used to do ghostwriting for people. And I never just thought about going out publicly for myself until author Amanda Lee have asked me to go public. So I was kind of nervous about it, but I did. I'm glad I did.
Yes, yes. And do you enjoy ghostwriting more, or are you glad that you did the opportunity of coming out with your own book? Like, what did you enjoy, do you still do it, I should say?
Well, I do ghostwriting from time to time, and I did quite a bit enjoy it. But mostly I do like the fact that I'm out public, I'm able to express myself more in my own way, because when you do ghostwriting, you have to go by the author because what they want, because that's what matters. But when you do your own work, you get a chance to tell your story your way to the people, how you want to present it.
True, true. I like that. Yes. So what was the year that you came out with your very first book? When did you become published?
In 2012, and it was My Private Hell, The Untold Story of a Preacher's Wife. And the moral to that story is everything you pray for, you shouldn't ask for.
All my
books have a moral meaning to them, because it's about life. I mean, it's everyday life for everyday people. We have a lot of books and things that people talk about, the boss going with the secretary. Well, a lot of people don't ever experience that. So I do my best to write how I feel led to write, and that is real life stories or real life people where they could understand it. Some of my books, let's say one of the books, one guy, he works at Walmart overnight shipping. His wife, she works as a waitress at a restaurant. Just overnight, regular people doing regular things that you could understand and relate to.
Ah, yeah, definitely. And that's what brings the reader in. Definitely. I preach that as well myself, too. You got to go ahead. You definitely got to have that in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you write for the people, because to me, personally, it's personal to me because it's not about what I do. It's what I feel led to do by Christ. And a lot of my stuff is written for different people. Everybody's not going to like what you write. Everybody's not going to understand what you write. But my writing is not for everybody. It's for whoever gets it, hold to it, and read it. And the objective is to maybe get that person to change their life. You understand? Like,
yes.
Okay, let's say with this book, My Private Hell. The moral to that one is, like I said, everything you pray for, you shouldn't ask for. And the purpose is to get you to think about your life. The objective is to perhaps change your life. And you may read that book, and it may not do anything for you, but you may tell somebody else about it, and it's for them. You could read something. This sounds like so-and-so. They might need to read it because oftentimes people will tell us something that's good for us in a sense, and we won't receive it. But if we read it for ourselves, that could open up our eyes to think about what we're going through, what we're dealing with, decisions that we've made.
Yes. And do you get that a lot, Melissa, when people come and say, you know what, that book, that's such and such, or that's me? It's like you talking directly to me. Do you get that a lot from people that read your book?
I do. I really do. And that makes it more joyful because knowing that, even if just one or two or three people came and told me that, hey, I did something, even if just those three people, the only three that got it, those were the three people that were probably ordained for me to reach. And I know it's more than that, but it's just a thought of knowing that I did something that somebody got a hold to and that they thought about what they're going through and perhaps changed how they were doing stuff or how they looked at things. because the book is to take your mind off what you're going through, and so you can see another life, another way of doing things. And when you can get into the book and it reminds you of you and lets you see some choices that you've made, you would think about doing things differently and not just the way you've been doing it. Because if you do things the way you've been doing it, you get the same result.
Yes. Yes. Well spoken. Yes. Yes. Now, you said it's 12 books you've written?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how many are regular paperbacks and how many are ebooks?
Two of them are ebooks and the rest of them are paperbacks.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask this question. I haven't asked it on the show to an author before, but I need
okay.
to ask that. And listening to your you talk about the ebooks and that too. Do you prefer doing a paperback over an ebook, or do you prefer like doing both?
Well, in today's time, we have some people that like hands-on, and some people,
mm-hmm.
they like to hear. Some people like to hear and see. I like doing them both, but I would prefer the paperback because it's nothing like having a book in your hand.
Yes.
When you get it in your hand,
yeah.
it's totally a different feel to me than when you're doing when you're reading off the Kindle, which is fine. I don't like that. Some people prefer that. It's less space in your house if you have a bunch of paperbacks. You know, a bunch of paperbacks everywhere, you know. Yeah, it's less space.
Right.
But to me, I like the hands-on. I like the feeling in my hand.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Now, have you thought about turning those ebooks into paperbacks, or are you just going to leave them like they are?
Well, at this present time, I'm just going to leave them like they are because there's so much other things,
mm-hmm.
writing material, that I have to get out there. And that's one reason why I don't like to do series, because it could go back on and on and on. And a lot of times when you write one book, and it may take months for the other book, and somebody read the first book, they got to go back and reread the first book to say get into the second book, you know. So I just like to do one book standalone, because there's so much
mm-hmm.
going on in people's lives that it's not like an everyday series in a sense. You understand? I mean,
mm-hmm.
sure, a lot of people go through this and this and this and this back to back, but different books, different situation, different life, different things. You don't go through the same thing over and over. If you do, that means you didn't learn the first time.
Yep. Hey.
Personal opinion. Personal
I hear
opinion.
That. Mm-hmm. But no, that's true. You definitely hit the nail on the hammer with that one. Yes. Yes. Definitely. I can agree with that. And I did a series with my first one, but I only did two. But
mm-hmm.
I kind of hear what you're saying, because people were asking me, Melissa, they was like, well, can you do a third? No, I'm leaving it at that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do a second one. But everybody kept asking me after I wrote my very first book, can you do a second one? And I was like, okay, cool. But I had to realize I have to cut it off at some point. So I definitely agree
mm-hmm.
with you on that. The series, it's like you have to keep it going, and no. Standalone, they
yeah.
serve their purpose.
Yep. People
definitely.
Ask me, won't you write a part two? I think it could end differently on part one. I said, well, personally, if I'm led to write another book, a part two, I will. But if I'm
mm-hmm.
not led, I don't want to do anything I'm not led to do, because that's how I get in trouble, and I don't need that. I got enough going on. So I got to make sure that I feel like I'm writing the way that I'm led to do book-wise. Because a lot of people, they would say, well, this book got some cussing in it. I said, okay, but so does the world. It's for the world. It's not for the people
right.
that are going to church. My books are for them
right.
out there. And you have to get on their level so they can understand
right.
it. Now, if you offer T.D. Jakes' book against, let's say, a regular old Jang book, the people in the world, they know T.D. Jakes is going to be about spiritual. So they're not going to quite want to get
right.
that if they're not ready to change or think about their lives. So they're going to get that plain Jane book. And in that plain Jane
right.
book, when they start thinking about their lives, how decisions they've made, and what they've done, what they might need to do. So that's how you reach a broad
right.
audience, where you write differently. You know, many times they've asked me, who's your writing style? I said, oh, I don't have a writing style because I have to find my own. If I write like you, sir, then they're going to get you out my book. And I don't need them to read you. I need them to read what they need to read for them. So I try to keep me out of a book because they don't need me in a book because they won't get anything. They need to get what I feel Christ has led me to write for them to get. And whatever it is, that's what they need at that time in their life.
There you go. Well spoken. Well spoken, because I get that as well, too. Well, you know, you wrote this book, but this book had cussing in it, and it's like, I'm not writing for a specific audience to, or my book. Melissa, is that my books don't define me. I'm a writer, so I have to what I know my audience is going to reach. That's what they're going to reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't make me a bad person because I write like that. But I definitely agree with you on that, and I get that a lot too. I tell people, my books are, I'm not my books. I love my books. Yeah. They are written for me, but I'm not my story. I'm trying to reach an audience. Yeah. You know. So definitely, like I like how you put that when you reach an audience, you know.
I'm sorry.
Mhm.
I'm sorry. Oh, if they tell me what they don't like, I would tell them, "Don't read this book," because I don't want you to read or buy anything that you're not going to want. And personally, I don't sell my book to anybody under 18, unless their mom and them buy it, and I can't control that. But me, myself, if they want a book that may have, like, heavy sex scenes, example, I wouldn't sell my book to them. That just means I wouldn't want nobody selling my 15-year-old about porn and example, and my 15-year-old maybe having a problem with something like that, you know. So if they're underage, I wouldn't sell it to them. I don't care how bad I want to get the book out there. Moral is more important than selling the book, because I got an answer to that. Because what you do today for somebody or to somebody, you're going to hear it again, see it again, whether or not in this life or the one to come. And I don't want to have to answer for something that could have been avoided.
True. True. And I'm the same way, definitely. I don't just sell my books to anybody. Like, there was a lady at my church, Melissa, that brought three of my books. I have four, but one of my books is an erotic book. So I didn't give her that one, but I gave her the other three, you know, and definitely. So yeah, I didn't give her that one. I gave her the other three, but I left that one out. I left that one out the bunch, Melissa.
I can just imagine if you got
no
that
mess.
Book.
Yeah, right.
But
I didn't need
I
no math.
I do have a period book that is religious in a sense. And I don't like to say religious because some people, I'm not this denomination, I'm not this denomination. Okay, but Jesus is non-denomination. He's for everyone.
Right.
We just divided ourselves and became demon nation. You understand? And I write that book. One lady said, well, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I said, well, okay, then the book will be supernatural for you. But you can still read it.
Right.
And she said, yeah, okay, you're right. Because you don't believe the things that's in the religious book that I've written, then it's going to be supernatural for you. But either way, you're either going to, I ain't going to say get converted, but you're going to have some things placed on your mind. And that's the whole point of every book I write, is to get your imagination fixed, to get you to thinking outside of who you are, what you're going through, what you're thinking about. It's to take you away in another place. And that's what I try to do, that I feel led to do, to write to the people. Because I got to reach whoever it is, how many ever it could be. I may sell 1,000 books, but only 3 people could be ordained to change their life through me. Could be 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It just, I don't know the many that's in my belly, but all I know is that I have to do and write the way I feel led to do. Because there have been times I've written a whole 5 chapters, and I hear it in my head, no, rewrite it. So I scratch it all out and rewrite it. And rewriting it was a whole lot better than it was the first time. So I try to make sure that I am writing the way I need to write to reach whoever needs to read the book, whatever book it is. Any book I've written, you will get a message. you will get a real good story out of it.
Okay. Now, picking it back, who influenced you to do your writing? Like, what influenced you to become a writer?
Well, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. I've always liked to tell your story. Not to lie to you, because we really do when we writing books, we be lying to the people about things, you understand? But I've always liked to tell you some things that could help you. Whether you want to receive it or not, they'll be told up to you. I've always liked to write. I've always had a way with words to help somebody see whatever it is I'm seeing in my head to place it on paper for them to read and think about things.
Okay, okay. All right. And were you a reader before you were a writer, or you just always knew that you wanted to write? You know, you didn't, like, start out, the reading didn't influence anything, or you just wanted to just flat out write? Was it reading, too, or just?
No, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, if I'm nothing else. When I was coming up, I used to read the Zebra romance novels. You know,
mm-hmm.
Zebra, the horse and the
zebra.
Mm-hmm. I used to read that a long time ago. I was like 15. But
okay.
Over the years, I don't really read anybody. I mean, some people say, how can you write books and you don't read other people's work? Because when I write, I'm going to make sure you get it from me. I'm not going to write something that I've read and write something similar to somebody else's work. No, because whatever I write in a book, I didn't read it from nobody else. Because we could read a book and we like what somebody else wrote and we could find our own spin to it. And before we know it, we're really just remaking what somebody else did.
Mm-hmm.
So when I write, I really don't read. I don't like to read nobody's work, to be absolutely honest with you, because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that what I get to in my soul and my spirit to write on paper is for the individuals, not because I read so-and-so work and it sounded good and I feel like I could make it better, you know.
Right.
And rewrite what they wrote. So I don't really read a lot of other people's things or, you know, I don't, to be honest.
Okay. And with your the religious book that you've written, has it gotten a lot of attention in the church, or have you, like, projected to the church? I know you said one lady said that she didn't want to read it because it was not done, but have you been able to speak to the masses with that one?
I really haven't, because a lot of people don't know me. The people that buy my books around here or around areas that I live in, they buy my books, but just being well-known and, you know, a lot of people don't know me. But as far as with that book, it's gotten into a church or two, and a few people bought it. You know, they liked it. They've enjoyed it. But, you know, that's really just been it, because a lot of people don't believe that heaven and hell is real. And if they don't believe that,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be the first thing they knock, because on the back of the book, it says demons are real and so is hell. And a lot of that would knock off a lot of people that don't believe in that. And if they don't believe in heaven or hell, then they don't believe in Jesus Christ in some sense, or they don't believe the speaking in tongues or being filled with the Holy Ghost. So if they don't believe all of that, they won't be so reluctant to buy the book. And if they don't buy it, it wasn't for them, no way.
True that. I hear that.
I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I'm just being absolutely honest.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a definite lot of sense. I like how you put that. Well spoken, too. Okay. So in your spare time, Melissa, like, what are some things that get you loosened to write? Like, do you have a favorite beverage? Do you snack? Like, what are some things that help you get in the mood for writing?
Well, if I'm ever still enough to sit outside and write, I like to be outside to write, to think, to look, because there's a story all around us, and whatever we need to write at that point is there. You just have to sit outside and listen to the birds, feel the warmth of the sun, feel the breeze of the wind.
Okay. So any, like, types of things that you like to snack, drink, or just the feel of outside is what gets you definitely going with your
just
writing.
Just the feel outside. Because I get to snack on some or drink on some. I'm not going to do too much writing because I'm too busy. Snack it. I'm not even worried about that. But I try to have a cutoff time, you know. I try to have a cutoff time. If I don't get a chance to write in that morning, I try to cut off by 5. But if I can't cut off by 5 and I'm working on something, that means I didn't get a chance to do anything during the day.
Okay.
So that way I have family life and things I may need to do, you know. I try not to I try to do like a regular job, Monday through Friday. But you always get something inspirational to write. It's something always going to come across at late at night, early in the morning, on a Saturday. I still jot all this down, and I put it all together, and I write.
Okay. And how often do you write a week, or do you like schedule days, or do you just do it at freelance, or, you know, how many days do you write a week?
Let's say on Monday I work on a message that's going to go in a book somewhere. I don't know where, but I'm always writing messages. And when I write these messages, they're going to go in a book somewhere in the future, or maybe something I'm working on later on. But I work on something every day, much as possible. But I don't push it, because if I don't feel it, I don't write it. Because if I can't feel it and see it and believe it, my readers won't either. So I'm not going to push myself past the limit if I don't feel it, or I won't do it. I'm wasting my time.
Gotcha. I definitely agree with you on that. There have been times where I've done it, and I have to say, okay, let me stop, because I'm pushing myself to do it. So I like that point that you made there. If you can't feel it, you can't do it. And I've been noticing myself doing that, because I'm trying to finish this 5th book, and I can't. So it's like I have to step back. But I like how you said that. You're not going to feel it, though. But I've been that person, Melissa, where I've been like, I need you to type something, because you ain't typing in about 2 weeks. That's just me. But I definitely hear you. Definitely hear you on that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Now, I know you said little messages that you put. Are they like little quotes or things you write that you put in the book, like, or what you're thinking at that point? Do you use a journal when you're writing stuff down, when you don't have a chance to type to the computer? Like, how do you do your thoughts and things?
Well, if normally when I was working, I would get my tremor to, I said, write this down. And she'll get her paper, she'll write it down for me and put it in my pocket. But most of the time I'm working on a message. Let's say I may have a message called Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, But Nobody Wants to Die. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I may work on that for a couple of days. Then I'm finished with it, I'm done with it. And then let's say I may start on something else, like, are you going or are you staying? Because everybody got some place to go. Hey.
There you go. You better say that.
Yes. I'm always working on a message. All the messages in my book, they were not from nobody else preaching it. None of them. So, yes, I'm always working on a message. If I'm not working on a book, I'm working on a message. Always.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome with that. And has anyone ever told you, like, you know, you've inspired me to want to write? What's some pointers that you've given people that may have said, you know, Melissa, you wrote a book, or you wrote several books, I should say. How do I get started?
Yes,
like, how do I get out there and get my voice out there?
First thing I tell them is to believe what you're writing. Because if you're not going to believe what you're writing, you can't expect anybody else. I tell them to, personally, I say, I write how I feel led to write, how I feel Christ leads me to write. I don't know if that's how you want to do it, but you got to make sure that what you're putting out is what you need to put out, because you're going to have to give an account for everything you say or do. And if you just writing a book just to write something, you don't have a passion about it, or you just don't really have a story, you just want to say, oh, I published a book. You won't give an account for whatever you write, because whatever you write, the wrong people could pick it up, and that you may have in that book, suicide is good, you know?
Right.
and they may start doing that because you wrote it, and they believe what you were saying. So you got to be careful what you write. I tell them all, be careful what you write. Believe what you're writing. Because you got to give an account for that. That's the number one thing. You're going to have to give an account for that. Every little thing we say or do in our body, we're going to give an account for that, whether we like it or not, or however your preference is to believe it. But as for me and how I believe, I'm going to give an account for everything I say or do. If you want advice, okay, let me pray about what to tell you, because I got to make sure I'm telling you right. Because if I tell you the wrong thing and you do the wrong thing, it's going to be required on me too. And I can't have that when I got to live my own life and got so much stuff going on that I got to make sure I'm in the clear with clean hands.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Definitely. Well account. Well account. And, Melissa, where can the people find your books at? Like, where are your books offered at online? Are they online, or, you know, do you purchase them through you? Where do you do your sales from?
Yes, sir. They can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and also on VIP, Vicious Ink Publications, also on their website as well. And if they know me, they can inbox me, and I can send them an invoice for a book. You know, have their preferences.
Okay. And what's coming up for you this year? You got anything planned? You doing any book events?
I haven't been led to do a book event just yet, because you just can't do a book event because you want to do it. That's just me personally. You got to be like sowing in season. You got to be led what to do, when to do it. You just can't do it because you want to do it. It don't always work that way. And a lot of times it don't work out when you want to do what you want to do. But as for booking events, because I look forward to doing some events this year, praise God. I'm hoping and praying that if Papaya does her in Silver Spring SOL Festival, I would like that.
Yes.
And maybe the Kickback in Atlanta, you know, or maybe other events as the season warm up, you know, you travel more. And then when it slows down, you slow down. You know, you slow down to travel, you group, you know, just like a bear. You be out for a while, then you go in hibernation, you get it all together, then come back for a while, you know, however you feel it.
Right.
Too.
Yes.
I feel it.
And I like that, how you put that. You go in hibernation. I like that. That's cool. I like that. I'm jotting some of this stuff down as you're talking, believe it or not.
That's
crazy
fine.
Isn't my sound, but yeah, you giving me some pointers tonight,
fine.
And I appreciate that. Definitely.
Hey, you have to do what you have to do to reach whoever you got to reach. You know, whoever you reach is not meant for me to reach. I can't reach them even if I wanted to. It ain't for me to get them. I ain't going to get them, no matter how much it is. I don't care how good the book is. If it's not for them, guess what? They're not going to reach. And I can't stress about that. No, I had people tell me a lot, your book, you can't tell that you wrote them because they're written different people, like different people write them. And I tell everybody it's supposed to be that way. I don't want my first book to sound like my 10th book. It's not like that. You're supposed to read that book and think like it's my first book. You're not supposed to, hey, well, she writes like so-and-so, or that's how I can tell it's her book because it has this in it. But you got to be led right.
Yep.
On your own
level,
your own space, own pace. Because I can't do it like you.
Nope. You can only be you. Only be you.
Yes, sir.
Do you enjoy being an indie writer, or would you like a contract? I don't know if you're under one, but Okay, cool. So do you enjoy doing things your own way, or would you ever consider being under a contract?
Well, yes, I will consider being under a contract if one, you know, permitted. I mean, like with VIP, I do write. We do have, you know, like example, as she said, well, we need to publish a book. What you going to publish? I said, okay, let me pray about it, and I'll let you know. I like to be able to pick the book. I've got books written. I like to be able to pick the one that's time for, and not just do the one that I want to do. Or if you're on a contract for these three books, but you done wrote something and you know you got to get out there, but you can't just write, you know, you can't publish that one because it's not on the contract. I like to be able to, if you say, I need four books, okay, that's fine. It's at my discretion. But if you got the title of the four books, I have to go by the plan. And we all know that life is not always how we plan. I may want this to come out, but it may not be time for that one. So I have to want to go back and say, no, this is one we got to publish. But because the other book's on the contract, the other book will have to come out. And then I'm going to be out of order because that's not what I'm supposed to do. So So I like to pick when my books are to come out. You just give me a number, and I'll say, okay, this one. Okay, this one. But if there's a name on the book, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Just me, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm with you, too. I'm like that, too. That's why I never really wanted to do the contract thing, because I want to do things the way I want to do them, too. So I definitely agree with you on that. You want to be able to pick your cover, everything like that. You want to be able to have a say-so on certain, you know, on everything that you know, doing and not certain things. So I agree. I definitely agree with that. Definitely yeah. agree with that. Okay. Okay. Well, you said
a
fall.
Lot of times,
and
a lot
maybe
of,
we'll...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No,
go ahead.
A lot of times, VIP, a man author mentally, she would pick out the cover. Just have this cover. I'm like, no, that's not the cover. No, that's not the cover. I said, no, this is the cover. And a lot of times my book is
mm-hmm.
not written. She hasn't read the book, but she'll show me this cover like we're married to the wrong one. And the moral to that one is just because you love something doesn't mean it loves you back. And the book was written. And when she showed me the cover, I said, you described those people perfectly. That's the cover.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yes.
she showed me a cover, and I said, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. Yes, this is it. Yes, this is it.
Yes. You want to definitely got to make sure it appeals to how you like it and how your audience is definitely going to feel and like it as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if
you
open up the book, any of my books, you open up, you're going to draw into them. The first line or two is going to get you wondering, what? Let me read this. Before you know it, you read half the book.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, that's got to draw. No, I was going to say the cover is what I know from doing book signings and book fairs. That's what one notices when they come to your table is the cover of your book. So definitely
mm-hmm.
I like that, how it has to look a certain way. But that's the first thing that they look at when they come to your table is the cover of your book. Or when you putting your cover, your book out online, that's the first thing people look at that more or less before they open the book. They look at the cover
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I
yeah.
do? What I like to do before
mm-hmm.
I show you the cover,
mm-hmm.
I let you read the first page of the book. And then when you read the first page of the book, you ain't gonna care what the cover look like.
Right.
Because you already draw me.
Exactly. And I like that you got to draw people in. Because I read a book
yeah.
from an author, the famous author, one time, Melissa. And after 50 pages, I threw that book across the room. I'm like, this ain't taking my attention. I gave it 50 pages and was done with it. I need to be
wow.
drawn in. So I like that. Yeah, I'm like, you got to draw me in. And I like that from the beginning. Definitely.
Okay, well,
I like
up anyone in my book. On Kindle, just pick them up, because on Kindle, you know, you can get the first few chapters for free as a sample. Open up any one
mm-hmm.
of my books and see if the first page, if not the first paragraph, will not draw you in. Then you can tell me. If it don't, I'm not stressing about it. Just go on to the next.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Definitely.
Definitely. I used to
okay.
think about that.
Well,
you know, I had one lady to tell me. It was a marriage run one. Ain't no man gonna buy no woman no house and give it back to her. Yes. And it bothered me so bad. I'm like, yes, it does. It does, man. But she complained about the book, but she had put it on her list to read. All my books
read
to read.
Mm.
And if you don't give an author a 2-star or 1-star, let them know why. So they could, it might can help them. I mean, don't just tear them down, but tear them down so they can be up on what you're saying. Because if I use
right.
the word whore 1,000 times, you may say, hey, I noticed the word whore was 1,000 times. Okay, that may have me to rewrite how I'm say that word or how many times I use it. So it'll help the author in more ways than they think in just giving the book a 1-star. I mean, some books might deserve it. I cannot lie about that. But at least tell the
mm-hmm.
author why, you know. Let them
right.
know why. It
right.
could help them in the future. They may have the next greatest novel because of they read how you tore them down, but you showed them constructive criticism when you done it. You just did 1-star,
right.
2-star. Oh, I don't like this, and that's it. If you don't like it, say why you don't like it. You know, don't
right.
just leave it open-ended.
Right.
Or just me.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Okay, Melissa, well, tell the people where they can reach you at before we get out of here, where you're on Facebook and where your book's at again.
Yes, sir. I'm on Facebook at Melissa Lee Cobb. I had to use my maiden name because a lot of people didn't know, who is Melissa Cobb? So, you know, I have to put Lee Cobb. And also on Twitter, at Melissa Lee Cobb. My books are Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, on your Kindle as well.
Okay. Well, Melissa, I thank you for stopping by tonight. I hope this won't be your last time coming on again to the Saturday Spotlight.
No, it won't be. I'm just thankful that you had a spot for me that I'm able to talk to you. I appreciate it more than you ever know. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Yes, no problem, definitely. And definitely we're going to have you again on the show again a little later, okay?
Yes, sir. I thank you so much for the opportunity you've given me this day.
Yeah, no problem. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yes, sir. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So there you have it, Melissa Lee Cobb tonight. You can check her out on Barnes & Noble. She's on Kindle. She has a spiritual book as well as the regular fiction. Melissa Lee Cobb on Facebook and I believe also on Twitter. So check her out. Next week is our Christian edition. We will have on new author, my little sister, Jennifer Leandra Rochelle, who will be talking about her book, From the World to the Word, as well as my aunt, the Reverend Lorenda Taylor from Evansville, Indiana, who will talk about 1 Minute to Live By, Parts 1 and 2. That's on the Saturday Spotlight next week. As always, what you do for Christ is the only thing will last. Everybody, you have a good rest of the weekend. Have a good upcoming week. Get those vision boards out. If you haven't done so, start crushing some goals because I'm planning on doing mine. Stop procrastinating. Get to it and do it because it's easy to talk about it, but it's another thing for putting it to work. And now I'm ready to put it to work. I'm ready to go get the old Jeff back. I'm ready to go get him back because he's been gone. I'm ready to go get him back as far as health, finances, everything. And like I said, the only thing that you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. So, have a good rest of the night. Tomorrow is March 1st. We are halfway, almost through 2020. Before you know it, it'll be daylight savings time. It'll be light back outside again. And it'll be getting ready to get hot. My favorite time of the year, warm. So I will see you guys next week on the Saturday Spotlight. Good night. Have a good evening.